one wrong move and your cap peel. I ain't no superhero, I ain't no Marvel comic, but when it comes to game, I'm atomic and dropping it straight, point blank and untwisted. No imagination needed, cause I lived it. This ain't no damn joke, this thing is real to me. I'm Ice-T, OG.
OG, original gangster. OG, original gangster. OG, original.
Hello and welcome to the I Want More Comics podcast.
Comics!
Episode Yay. 60. I'm Zach.
I'm Richie.
I'm Sean. I thought Yay. This was supposed to be the live one.
Well, it was supposed
what?
To be.
What? No.
You guys lied. Everybody lied. Out there. What's wrong with you jerks?
We did.
I'm here to stand up for the little people. All right?
We're still trying to little figure out the logistics and to get enough time for you guys to
get logistics. Send in questions. Yeah, that sounds like an excuse.
Well hey, we have a whole new setup here for the podcast.
And a whole new bunch of excuses.
Yes. You're going to have to deal with that.
All right. So without further ado, let's just jump, into, the news. In the news, just recently, they released the solicits for the Doomsday Clock number 2.
Yes.
And on those, you have the Gary Frank. There's two different Gary Franks. One is a couple of crumpled costumes that no one's ever seen before, so wondering who those are. And then the other one is a picture of Lex Luthor with a gauntleted hand on his shoulder.
Oh, who everyone thinks he stares at you lovingly when he is, talks about DC Comics.
Do we have a moment?
You share it.
Who people think may be Ozymandias.
Ooh.
So, how do we feel? What are we thinking? Are we getting more excited about it?
Oh, no, I did perhaps. Okay.
Well, and then they just announced just like minutes ago before we...
That we're going to do a midnight!
They're going to do a midnight. Well, 11:57,
yes,
which is going to be...
Not necessarily midnight.
Yeah, it's going to be...
Because, it's got to tie in with the actual theme of the comic.
Boom.
So, there you
Boom.
Go.
Count it.
So, there'll be more information about that later on because we... Just got the information about 15 minutes ago.
Yeah, we'll see if we want to participate in that. If you guys hear this and are really interested, let us know so we can kind of gather that. I'm excited. This
yes.
is, but I've been excited. They really don't have to tell me anymore. I'm on board. You know, and I think a lot of people are, especially those that enjoyed Rebirth, really dove in on the button.
Yes.
And as retailers, we can kind of see the interest rate on
sure.
those. Those are incredibly hard to keep in stock.
Yep.
And I think everybody's waiting for this. So,
I mean, Geoff Johns, Gary Frank, come on.
Yeah, it's kind of a no-brainer at this point. And I just can't wait. I really can't. November can't come fast enough.
Excellent. Sean, your thoughts?
I think it'll be something I'll probably read.
Awesome. Fantastic.
That's a glowing review.
That is a glowing review.
I don't, dude, I don't, you guys are the ones who get all caught up in the hype. I just never do.
Dude, I love the hype train.
The hype train, I look at it and I watch it pass by and
I shovel that coal.
There's nothing, hype train.
There's nothing cooler than getting excited about the hype train than when you get on there and there's a beautiful room in there. You're like, yeah.
So good, yeah. When it pays off, it's so much better.
Exactly.
I guess because I'm like older and I've been on the hype train and then got to the end of the hype train and watched it crash and burn and go,
sure.
Wow, that was horrible.
Sure, that happens. That does happen. But when it's
great,
but I'm also the same as the guy who doesn't watch trailers usually, unless you force me to.
The thing about the hype train is you can never be disappointed during the hype train. It's always the destination, my friend.
Or
so
you
enjoy
can,
it.
Or you can not get on the hype train, wait for the thing to come out, enjoy it for what it is, and still be satisfied.
No, that doesn't sound like fun at all.
It's awesome.
I agree, it's more
hey,
fun.
You hype trainers can jump on the hype train and watch it fly off the cliff or do whatever the hell. Maybe it'll go to your destination, you'll be happy.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Good
on you.
Sometimes that fiery crash is good too.
Sometimes it can.
Then I have to hear about you. Complain. I was gonna use a curse word, and I had to stop
good
myself.
Good for you! Look Yay. At that podcast. Yeah,
there we go.
It's coming.
In other news, Marvel has announced that the Adult Phoenix is returning in Phoenix Resurrection.
What? I just jumped in and did a Richie. Did you see that?
That's going to be coming out late this year. This is going to be a 5-issue miniseries. Each issue is going to be done by a different artist. And it's going to be the return of Adult Jean Grey, who we last saw Wolverine kill in the Grant Morrison X-Men run from the early 2000s.
From forever and a day ago.
From many years ago. So she's returning. Well, how do we feel about this? What are we thinking? The writer said that, which I forgot, he's a new writer. He just signed an exclusive with them.
I wonder if it'll actually make me read X-Books again.
Yeah, he said that his whole thing is about bringing back the love of the Claremont era X-Men back into the
I hear this a lot. So. Let's bring back Claremont era, but it has yet to happen. And I really want it to happen.
The Claremont era was a special time. Dude, you're not going to replicate that. I'm sorry, you're just not.
I want something.
You are not. Not even Claremont could replicate the Claremont era. All he could do is go to the Savage Land and screw that up. So we're good. The Claremont era can be the Claremont era, and you can appreciate it for what it was. Mm-hmm. Have it be something good. It doesn't matter. Yeah. It doesn't have to be Claremont. It could still be good in its own right.
What do you guys think about the different artists every issue?
So
they've done this before in the past.
So it's fine. they're doing it with Astonishing.
I'm not a huge fan of it.
As long as it doesn't take you out of the story, what does it matter? Even if they're all five different artists and it keeps you in the story, that's really what
I think in the goal like is. Single books it'll be better, but like even with Casting and Forge when they flip through the three artists, sometimes it was jarring and it took me out of the story. You know?
It's gonna make you stop reading it.
No.
Yeah, okay.
I can have an opinion and still.
Yes. Well, no, I'm kind of in the.
This bothers me slightly. Throw it away in the dumpster fire.
Well, and I'm kind of in the opinion of with life. I'm kind of in the opinion with you, Richie, about different artists because even though just like Astonishing X-Men, all three artists so far in Astonishing X-Men have been great. Yeah. The problem is for me is the attachment to some stuff. Right. Is that the first issue? The first issue was done by, I'm trying to remember who did the first issue of Astonishing. Jim Chung. Jim Chung loved it. I thought it was fantastic. Then the next one was Mike Diodato, right. Who I think is awesome. But it changed it a lot from those two issues.
What did you think of the Daredevil issue? I think it was a 100, where you're riding through Daredevil's mental psychoses and how he
if it's part of the story, I think that's really cool and that's a really effective way of doing it.
And it was multiple artists on that.
Yes,
what do you think about Promethea with Alan Moore when J.H. Williams completely changed his art style throughout the entire thing to represent whatever part of the story they're in?
It's very
so why wouldn't each issue do the same thing?
Well,
we don't know yet.
Yeah, that's the thing is that if it is for a story-driven thing, then it's totally different. It's used as a tool, and that tool works really well. That's why when it's not, it does affect it. You know, you're like, oh, am I in a dream sequence here? Why did my atmosphere
change?
That's
kind of what they're doing with Astonishing. They're trying to say, oh, you know, there's different states because they're all in the astral plane. Mm. So that's why they have different artists. And the thing is, like I said, is that all three artists on Astonishing have been awesome. And I love Ed McGuinness, and I love Mike Diodato, and I love Jim Chung. My problem is that I really like to get attached to... We've talked about this before, like long runs and creators. Yeah. You know, when you say, oh, here's a Scott Snyder, Greg Capullo Batman, you know what you're going to get, and you enjoy that. If it was Greg Capullo on that issue, and then it's Jim Lee on the next, and then it's Gary Frank on the next. Sure, they're all three great artists, and they're all written by Scott Snyder, but that would make it really weird.
It shifts a bit, yeah.
Yeah.
It's not something I'm not used to as a comic book reader. It's sure. just, you
I think know. It's, I think it's more jarring when you change somebody's look than just, like, if you're the artist and you're still doing the basic same look,
yeah,
it's fine. Yeah, I think it's right, more jarring when it's like, who was it, Layla Miller, when she's suddenly aged?
Yeah,
in X Factor.
Yeah,
so she was super young, and then over the course of a story, she suddenly got like twice as old.
Right.
And you're going, "What the hell just happened?"
Just because of the
of what the story was doing.
Oh, okay,
yes. That was way more jarring to me than switching artists.
I gotcha.
And now, if you're going from somebody who's, and this is going to sound weird, because I like Jim Lee just fine.
Yeah.
I think he's a great artist. If you're going from a Jim Lee to, and I don't like John Romita Jr. I don't like that kind of a change, because I just don't like the artist.
Right, and I'm not necessarily not into JRJR, but like the difference in artwork just in general, I think, is pretty...
But going from Jim Lee to Andy Kubert or somebody like that, I'm fine with. It doesn't bother me
I was
going
to say the same thing. You can go Finch, Fabok to Kubert, and I'm not terribly skewed. Or Jim Lee, not Kubert. But even Kubert, to me, takes a different element in his artwork.
Sure.
And potentially, maybe if you have Scott Williams, just ink all of it.
There you go.
It'd be good.
Too bad he only inks one person
in this
entire universe. Yep.
That's right.
Which makes sense.
That's all they've been doing for like 20 years.
Exactly. And then the...
It's a living.
So then the last little piece of news, which I have been expecting for years now, and I'm surprised that they held out this long, is that Witchblade is returning with Witchblade number one, or
Top Cow Productions.
Top Cow, written by Caitlin Kittredge, the person who wrote Coffin Hill, and the artist is Roberta Ingranata, who did Robin Hood.
Bless you.
And thank you. Who did Robin Hood and Van Helsing versus Dracula for Zenoscope?
Some of the Zenoscope stuff. Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
Zenoscope's got some good artwork. So.
So
for the covers, yes.
Yeah. So I'm really surprised because Witchblade was the top, you know, their top selling and, you know, kind of their flagship of the whole Mark Silvestri Top Cow thing.
Uh-huh.
And then they just stopped and they've done it for, I don't know, how many years has that been? Like six? Eight?
Like, have not done it?
Yeah. It's, when's the last issue?
Gone?
Long time.
No, I
years.
Mean, we were still moved into this store when it finished. Okay. So it's got to be like 4 or 5 years.
Okay, 4 or 5 years. Then.
That's still a long time for a comic book.
To have nothing.
To
yeah.
Have nothing.
So,
well,
I'm
Jean
very
Grey's
interested.
Been out of the picture for a lot longer than that comic's not been around.
Yeah, but sure. Then there's Jean Grey's daughter or Hope. And,
she doesn't
you
count.
Know, they all.
None of them count.
The new
they're
Jean
Grey
is also here.
New Jean Grey doesn't count as Jean Grey.
Jean
it's not
Grey
Jean Grey.
Is, she's from the past, and now she's in the
no.
future.
No. And
yeah,
no.
Yeah, just saying.
Nope. I'm not drinking your Kool-Aid, buddy.
There's not, I'm not your buddy, pal.
That's your pal, friend.
Friend guy.
So I will definitely check out this first issue because I really like the old Witchblade stuff. I think that when Ron Mars came and took it over, he took it in a different, you know, into a different level.
Yeah.
He did some really cool stuff with it. So I'll check this out.
Okay.
And then, really quickly, I know this is the boring part, I'm just going to do it really quickly. We have a stream sale.
When you talk down, you're
it's
like...
It's our store. It's not boring.
Store stuff.
Well, I mean, it's the disclaimer, and the person who hears this first
stream sale,
yep,
6 to 8 p.m. on Wednesdays and Fridays. Everybody,
exactly.
Don't forget, we also have a manga club that we're going to do every
manga
second to last Thursday of every month.
We'll give you a seat at
regular...
the manga club, but you'll only need the edge.
That's right. And then there's a regular comic that. Book club that meets on the last Thursday of every month. From 6 to 7:30 p.m. This month's is Day Tripper.
Yes.
Which we did a podcast earlier, so if you want to check that one out. We still have the books on sale. 25% off if you're
even
a walk-in,
you
30%
it,
off
you
if you're a whole slot.
Read this book.
Yeah, it's just...
Yes, you should.
Anything we do for the book club is kind of a... You should read it and see what happens.
Absolutely.
See how it makes you have feelings.
Yes.
Yep, exactly. So, alrighty.
Challenge your boundaries. Open the box, man.
Open the box.
Finish Strangers in Paradise yet?
No.
All right, anyway, let's get into our picks of the week.
Haven't you been here like a year?
I have almost
didn't
a year
I,
and
didn't
a half.
The first book I gave you?
It is.
Okay.
How are you not done in a year and a half?
I'm reading a lot of other stuff.
So,
no.
Okay, so, in picks of the
I
week.
I don't give a shit about his crap right now. You really need to just finish this book, you jerk-faced McGee.
You guys are killing the segments, okay?
I'm not killing nothing. Hey, we're doing picks of the week, everybody.
We are doing
picks. Hey, Zach, what'd you pick? Go.
Okay.
Boom.
Boom.
Thank you. So,
Strangers in Paradise, you jerk.
I'm gonna read it.
I
only have two more volumes.
So my pick of the week from last week, I was gonna try and not pick something that was already picked, but I couldn't not pick this book.
Yeah.
And that's going to be...
Yeah.
I'm in the boat. I'm in the same boat.
My pick is Mr. Miracle number
this.
2.
I'm a bad person.
What?
Really?
This is Mr. Miracle number 2.
I read one. I still haven't read two.
Written by Tom King. Artwork by Mitch Gerards.
Don't give anything away. I haven't read it.
No, I'm not going to give anything away. I will just say that...
Stop spoiling it for me. You're opening the book.
I will just say that...
Show him the last page.
Don't
care.
Show me the last page.
Look at it.
So the reason why I picked this and I had to pick it is because the first issue I thought was really well done. It really set up a lot of interesting questions, things like that. Cool. But this second one even took it further, asked even crazier questions. And there was a couple of moments in here that actually had me shocked while I was reading them. And it's very hard for me to get shocked while reading a comic book. But there was two moments specifically in here, which I won't spoil, but if you pick it up, you'll probably know what I'm talking about. There's two moments in here where I went, what? What is going on? They're allowing this to happen in a DC comic book, like a DC mainstream comic book that, you know, kids could pick up maybe.
Right.
And so that was very surprising. And we actually had a conversation this past weekend with somebody where they said, well, you know, I didn't really like the first issue, and I don't really like books that don't tie up every issue. you know.
Yes.
And
you don't like a lot of comic books because most of them don't tie up every issue.
He's a Batman fan, for the record, and that just blows me away.
you gotta keep hanging in with the thread at the end that doesn't tie shit up. Yeah. So why would you? Oh, whatever.
Anyway, so
that's what I call my terminology for that is what I call a Snyder baby. And they're fine. I love Snyder babies. I welcome them into the Batman fold. But a problem with that is that Snyder and Capullo got to do something very unique with a Batman character.
They get to do stories.
They did an entire story with an end. You can read Batman Volume 2 in its entirety.
All 52 issues.
And it begins and ends.
And you can be done.
And you can be done. Yes. You don't have to read anything ever again. So it does actually come with a close. It was 5 years, but it came to a close. So I can see how if that's how you were introduced to comics, when you start diving into some of these things, you're like, what is going on?
Yes.
And Mr. Miracle, for me, I'm on board with you. It was a real challenge not to pick it. I'm really surprised you haven't read it yet because it feels like something you'd really dig.
Last week was crazy. It was crazy. So I just kind of missed it. The one I picked was the one I read.
Right.
Yeah.
From last week.
No, I get it.
I will say that it's got everything in this, especially in issue 2, it's got everything. It has a real psychosis look, like external stuff. It's got action up the wazoo.
Yes.
It has a really dramatic story about his love for his father and things like that. And it even has like a homelier part to it where it's like...
Does it have clowns?
Does not have clowns. People dress like clowns. Mr. Miracle kind of looks like a clown.
No.
It's not a clown. All right. But there's a moment in there that's really somber.
Yes.
And in this massive book of, I guess, violence and kind of war, really.
Sure.
And it's just weird to have that moment, and I like it a lot.
Exactly. I love it because it raised up more questions. It made me go, when I sat down and first read it, I said, I don't know exactly what's going on, but I love it.
Yeah.
And that is, and for me, that's very good writing because it's a 12-issue miniseries. It's a monthly book, so we still got, 10 more months of this to go.
I'm not okay with that.
Give
it to me now.
Yeah.
You might die before you get to finish reading it.
There's a good chance.
There's a chance.
Especially with my lifestyle.
But I love it because it's something unique. It's something really different. But they're using a DC character, and they're using the DC world, and they're still paying homage to it, which is something that I enjoy.
Yes.
So if you have not picked up Mr. Miracle 1 or 2, do it now. Pick it up. It's going to be... I think this is also going to be nominated for an Eisner.
But it doesn't have everything because it doesn't have clowns.
There you go. It does not.
So we're going to use that as a segue into my pick of the week.
Oh.
Okay. What's your pick of the week?
That's right. I took over the show.
What's that?
My pick of the week is a book called Sink.
Sink number one. Oh, like a
kitchen sink. Yeah, sure.
An appliance magazine. I like sure. it.
So this isn't a horror anthology book.
A what?
That's set in Scotland. Horror. Scary, not trampy.
Gotcha.
But there's a definite part of the story that involves psychotic clowns.
Oh.
That if you're afraid of clowns, might not be okay for you.
Okay.
As a reader.
Excellent.
This is done by John Lees and Alex Cormack. I don't remember seeing their names on anything else that I've ever read. I didn't really bother to look them up because I'm a bad person.
That's fine.
But this book, yeah, they do, I'm sure. This book overall, like, a lot of people can't get behind the idea of what an anthology is. They just don't read them.
Yeah, right.
But this is perfect for the gentleman you were talking about that has, each issue has an end, because it does.
Yeah.
Then I've already read issue 2, because they sent it to me as a PDF, mm-hmm. and issue 2 actually is completely different. Has there nothing to do with this issue, because it's
That's
its
what
own
an anthology is.
Horror story.
Right.
So... I like it because it's different, and most horror stories kind of get wrapped up in weird slasher gross camp kind of stuff that I don't care. Like when it turns into torture porn, I just don't care anymore.
Right.
This one doesn't really do that, so it still keeps it psychologically tied to the horror instead of just visceral slashings or anything like that.
Right.
So if you're into this kind of thing, you might give it a shot if you can find the damn thing.
I was gonna say it's pretty hot. It's gone.
So yeah, because the gentleman who created the book sent me the PDF with the first two issues, and read them both before we did the issue order for issue one. I ordered high, I thought. Right. I really did. I think we ordered something like 20 or 25 copies of this, which for an super indie book.
That's super indie.
Is, you know, Comics yeah. Tribe is not a big publisher, and I right. think they're, I think they're European.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
I think they're a European publisher. So, you know, it's just not something we normally would, like, a book like this, we would be getting like 5-10 copies usually.
Right,
yeah.
So for us to go this high was kind of unheard of, and then being sold out of it by the end of Wednesday was even more unheard of.
Oh, yeah.
So everybody kind of jumped on this train, and I hope you all enjoyed whoever got to read it.
Yeah, it's seems like if you're into scary or horror, it's a must-buy.
Well, it's a well-done anthology. And finding well-done anthologies is kind of... You can find plenty of anthologies, and they're not all well-done.
Right.
So...
It's a good pick. I like it.
All right. So we'll jump from there into Richie's pick of the week. Ooh, pow!
Pow!
Excitement abound.
There you go.
My pick is going to be Valiant's Ninjak, number 0.
Excellent.
What is it? It's, to me, it's, you know, just ninjas.
What is it? What is it?
We apologize, people.
For what?
Ear shattering.
Yeah.
What is it?
Somebody's listening like, ow.
Yeah, exactly.
They got their earbuds in there. They're trying to work.
Someone told me what it is.
It's a comic book.
What is it?
A Hunter Destroyer.
That's right.
So, it's not a crazy pick for me.
You enjoy the Ninjak.
Yeah, it's kind of like refocusing on Ninjak, starting
with...
It's
making more Batman-like.
It's not more... It's actually... I kind of put him more on like a Hawkeye level or Iron Man with gadgets and stuff.
Doesn't Batman have gadgets?
He has gadgets, but not like swords and...
I mean, if you listen to the podcast before, Richie loves ninjas.
I do. I really love
and
ninjas.
And Batman's.
Batman's a ninja. So, yes.
So that's why you like Ninjak.
I like Ninjak outside of Batman. I mean, there are elements to the story that I like that are hints of, you know, how Batman's written as well. It's definitely in the same vein, and I enjoy that. But I don't want to take away from the character. I think the character has its own... nuances that are, you know, really interesting and fun, and I like that he doesn't mind slashing off limbs and stuff like that.
He slightly reminds me of Danny Rand, the Iron Fist.
Yeah, a little bit.
Moon Knight. If you mix them together and took out the total psychosis of Moon Knight.
Yeah, absolutely. So. And more of a disgruntled like Hawkeye thing, where he's just not happy he has.
So
to
if you like all
things.
Of those thrown into a Batman scenario, this mm-hmm. is pretty much Ninjak.
Yeah, and. And Zero, again, is a refocusing, so if you haven't picked up Ninjak or was wondering where to start, this is
a good start.
It's absolutely a perfect place to be. Francis Portella is the artist, and I love the artwork in here. Really good stuff. Andrew Dalhaus is the colorist, and coloring in this book is really well done. I really enjoy it, and I think other people will, too. Just, like, the shading here and there, it's so good. So, it's really good stuff. If you haven't picked up Ninjak or wanted or wondering where you should start, boom, number 0 is ripe for the picking, and I think under the radar. So,
excellent.
If you enjoy it, pick it up.
I dig it.
If you like those elements we talked about, see if you take a swing at it, mm-hmm. see if it knocks it out of the park for you.
If a ninja going ham in a hallway with a sword, just slicing and dicing,
sounds
intrigues
fun,
you. Get on this.
There you go.
Because I'm on.
Get up off that thing.
Look at him derailing this.
Anyway.
Wow, Zach.
Zach. Way to go, Zach.
I know.
Jerk movie.
All right, so let's get into our spinning the racks.
Ooh, that's a good idea.
Spinning the racks. Da-da-da. Da-da-da.
Da-da-da. Da-da-da. Da-da-da. Da-da-da. Spinning the racks,
and our spinning the racks is kind of a takeoff the pick of the week. What we're going to be talking about here is going to be books that we are reading that we don't talk about usually, either you know, in person or on the podcast. Just things that we like that we read that we always go, oh yeah, we always pick these up. We'll always enjoy them, but you know, just you know, not the Mr. Miracles or the Walking Deads or the Invincibles. But the things that we just want to say, oh, yeah, this is quality in our opinion, and You know, we should be picking them up, or you should be picking them up if you
the
want other things.
The fact of the matter is that we don't have enough time in the day to tell you about everything we read.
Yes.
And we especially don't have enough... We limit that time by an hour for the podcast. And yes. It's difficult to express how many really great stories are out there. There isn't enough time for us to read the comic books that we love.
Yes.
Let alone tell you about them. So this is a quick grab bag of everything that we are currently reading on the low, if you will, and we're gonna shine a spotlight on them.
Yes, exactly. So I think we're just gonna start off really quick with something that I think that we can all agree, and we'll just talk about it really quickly.
Yeah.
And that is I think all three of us's mutual love for the Star Wars books.
Yes.
A lot of people
pick. Yeah, I'm out on those.
No, that's a big
that's not true. That's not true.
A lot of people pick and choose, or a lot of people only get one book, or some people don't even buy them because, you know, they say, oh, they're just licensed comic books.
Yes.
And we're reading them, and you and I just had a conversation about Dr. Aphra and how wonderful that book is.
It really is.
And a lot of people put that book away or they don't even pick it up.
Uh-huh.
Because, and, you know, a lot of people, it's not an original character from the movies.
Right.
So they're like, oh, I don't care about this
character. It is very interesting how, especially in this Marvel universe, where a lot of continuity died when mm-hmm. Marvel and Disney took over, and there were a lot of unique characters
It was the easiest way to do that, and to make a fresh start and start your own stories, was just to say, hey, this is all like...
Totally. But in those...
There's stories that happen, maybe, I don't know, right. But we're not going to say they're canon until we say they're canon.
But in that universe, in those universes, or the multitude of those, there's a lot of unique characters that people fell in love with that they desperately care about.
Mm-hmm.
And when Marvel takes over, they just essentially place the licensing down, and they put the shiny front of Han Solo, Mace Windu, you know, Obi-Wan, and...
Those are the easy ones you can grab.
Right, but there's not like a...
It's your low-hanging fruit, as it were.
Right, but there's not a main unique character to follow. The only one, really, is Dr. Aphra.
Yes.
Completely originally created.
Yep.
And again, done in a way that Zach and I really like, which is put into a comic where people are reading, introduced a character, that character flourished within that medium, and given her own title.
Exactly.
Written by the person who created
Karen Gillan.
Gillan. And, I mean, every time I read it, it's never disappointing.
No. The characterization is fantastic. You have the two evil droids who are great. And you also have, I can never say this guy's name right, but Black Kirsten.
Kirsten, whatever.
The bounty hunter Wookiee. I mean, just... really cool, fun stuff that still feels like Star Wars, and it's a different take, and it's a different character. And again, I think, like you said, if you didn't read the 25 issues of the Karen Gillan Darth Vader run, I could see how you're like, why do I care about this person and what's up here? But since I did, to me it was natural. They were like, we're going to do a Dr. Aphra book.
Sweet.
And I went, awesome. Right. Written by the same guy who did these, ones. Cool. Yeah. So it's never felt like weird to me. I just go, oh yeah, this is the character. I mean, as of right now, she has, 30-something issues that she's been in comics?
Uh-huh.
I mean, that's pretty good.
Yeah, and, their tie-in with, Vader Down was excellent. And then they went into Screaming Citadel, which put her up against with, Luke again, and Han Solo, and Princess Leia, and... When I read Screaming Citadel, especially after Vader Down, and it's been a while since then,
mm-hmm.
It felt like a guest appearance. You know, like, oh, Dr. Aphra's in it, and, there's Luke. And it just expanded on the space opera that is Star Wars. And I'll say it every time that if you are a Star Wars fan and you enjoy especially, Rogue One, why am I blinking?
Force Awakens.
Thank you, Force Awakens. That new kind of setup of Star Wars that we can now live in this world, that Lucas kind of really kept secret, we've kicked open the doors, and now we're all getting to play in this playground.
Yes.
And there's no reason not to be enjoying these stories, because it's a huge, extended story arc or episode of Star Wars every time.
Yep.
And just, I will say you don't necessarily have to read everything if you don't want to.
You sure don't.
You don't have to.
They're not. They are connected to an extent, but you don't really have to read them. You could read just Afra if you want.
Just
you
Star
could read
Wars,
just Star
just,
Wars. You could, and you're fine.
Yeah. Yes. If you're a Sith lover and you're not reading Darth Maul, a little weirdo.
Or Darth
Vader. Weird.
Darth
Vader
is so good. One, and I think that's just kind of what Richie
and I... Well,
you could
still read Darth Vader and not read...
No, you don't have to read... No, you don't have to read everything.
No,
you don't have
not.
To read everything. Richie and I pick it all up, and so does Sean, because, in our opinions, the whole line is real quality.
Yeah.
Even their worst book that they've done was still... Oh, this was enjoyable to read.
My least favorite's been Leia so far.
And Leia was going to be the one that I was going to say. Princess Leia, the five issue...
It's not even bad.
It's not bad, exactly.
It's just not...
Chewbacca was the worst for me. And
I like Chewbacca.
But
was
Chewbacca
it because
was
the entire comic was
on? It was not. But
no, I like Chewbacca, but I like Chewbacca the character a lot too.
I do too.
But that's what I'm saying is that none of it has, in my opinion, none of it has been bad where I've gone, oh, this is, you know, you shouldn't be picking this up. So when we say, oh, reading all of it, it's really cool when you read all the books and you see some of that interconnectivity. But there's tons of people that just pick up, you know, just one book here or there. But the one that I see get passed over the most is Dr. Aphra. And
or Poe Dameron, that one gets passed over pretty hard, too.
That one does, too. But, I mean, Dr. Aphra's a little bit more because Poe Dameron has the movie, and they're also dealing with a lot of the kind of the history between Return of the Jedi and Force Awakens and Poe Dameron. In Dr. Aphra, you are in new territory, new stuff.
It's all just brand new
Star
Wars.
It's all brand new space opera. Like you and I talked about, it's space opera.
Yeah.
And if you enjoy that sort of thing, Dr. Aphra's there. So, you know, if you want to pick one up, you know, pick up any of them.
Mm-hmm.
But we're also just trying to put a spotlight on Dr. Aphra here.
Give her a chance.
Because, read that 25 issues of Darth Vader. And if you don't like her at the end of it and you're like, I don't want to read about her anymore, fair, then you don't need to pick up the series.
Not just her, but like her whole crew.
Yes.
BD, 000.
Black Kirsten or whatever. Yeah, great stuff. So, okay. All right, so let's get into some of our individual books here. Let's start with Sean here, because he's got a nice little stack of stuff. And let's start with you about what book should people be looking at reading, checking out.
I used to love pretty much everything Vertigo put out.
Yeah, me too.
And when they reformatted Vertigo and pretty much dropped all the titles. And
yep, me too.
Didn't love it as much. Wasn't really my favorite thing, so... They've come back with Gerard Way's doing his Young Animal imprints, and for the most part, they've all been pretty okay.
Yes.
You know, if you're kind of into that more fringe, out there storytelling, they might be for you.
Mm-hmm.
But the one standout one that I've liked the most is actually Cave Carson has a cybernetic
eye. I like this one a lot, too. Yes.
Because it is just some crazy sci-fi stuff.
It's great. Yes.
So if you like Black Science or any of the other weird... sci-fi books that have been kind of coming out, like even Black Hammer to an extent, this might resonate with you.
Mm-hmm.
I dig it. I dig Cave Carson. I dig the weird scenarios he gets into, and it starts off where he almost thinks he's in a dream sequence,
mm-hmm.
where he doesn't really realize what is going on. You know that he's actually been kind of out of it for a little bit too long, but the story picks up right away, and I think Gerard Way and crew have been doing really well with it. And the funny thing is, I was, when I first saw the solicitations for all of his Young Animal books, this one was the lowest on my list.
Yeah, it's so funny. Same here. I was.
I do not really care for Michael Avon Oeming's art.
Mm-hmm.
His stuff is okay, but there's only been two books I've ever really liked him on.
Powers.
Okay. Powers and this one.
And that one.
And that's
it. Yeah.
Like his own, Mice Templar stuff, I did not like at all. Like a lot of his stuff it's kind of a weird acquired taste for his artwork, but it works in this book. It works with the content. It works really well with this content. So I can actually appreciate his art here.
Yeah. Sure.
It's kind of like Renato Jones. Who does, is it?
Cary Andrews.
Yeah. So his stuff is the same to me, is where it's either really a hit or really a miss.
Right. Sure.
And in that Renato Jones book, it's a hit.
Right.
You know, so the same thing with Oeming in this book. It's a hit to me. It fits perfectly for the content.
And that's really a great thing, and that's something that can really happen only in comic books when you have a particular art style, and you finally find that story that you really know, marries it together. Yeah. So good.
It's like the glue that holds the entire thing together.
Well, and it's so funny because, Sean and I had the exact same feelings about this book because when they announced it, I went, oh, Doom Patrol was like number one. I love Shade the Changing Man from Peter Milligan, so they did Shade the Changing Girl.
Funny cool. Because Shade the Changing Girl right now is the hardest one for me to read.
It's same here. But anyway, I'm trying, right? So it's really funny. They did Mother Panic. Yeah. And I went, okay, that looks cool, something unique. And they said Cave Carson with Michael Avon Oeming.
I know,
Oeming.
This was like a 60s book. Wasn't it a 60s book? 60s DC offshoot.
Yeah. So the backstory on this was that this was a Silver Age comic book that DC did. Very fringy. They only did like 50 issues or something. And most of the issues are lost for all time. DC in their vaults has like 3 issues. And the reason why... the reason why it's called Cave Carson Has a Cybernetic Eye is because Gerard Way went to DC Comics, looked at these, and in one issue, Cave Carson is an adventurer, you know, Indiana Jones type. Okay, cool. And then the next one, he has a cybernetic eye. But it's like 12 or 20 issues later, and you don't know what happened. So this book is him taking the basic premise of Cave Carson and saying, what happened to this adventurer guy? And just adding in all the crazy science fiction elements.
He gets to go completely off the reservation he wants.
DC didn't care about the brand of it, licensing of it, so they're just like, okay, do what you want.
Yeah, take the 3 issues we have and
you can do what you want.
Do what you want on it. So so it's one of those things where, like, yeah, people who want to read back issues and stuff, there are like none in existence. Mm-hmm. So I agree. I love that book. It's one of my favorite of The Young Animal. Yeah. I agree.
I think it's amazing. You want me to keep going, or are you guys going to jump on one?
Let me jump. I'll just jump real quick. I've talked about this book before on the podcast. It's been a long time. I still really enjoy it. It's going to be Birthright by Joshua Williamson and Andre Bresnan.
Yes.
And in the past, if you haven't listened to those episodes, I basically just said I love Joshua Williamson's writing. He's the one who's writing The Flash. He just wrote The Red Death that just came out today.
Uh-huh.
He wrote Frostbite, which is something else we talked about, and he's been doing this Birthright book. It's on issue 26, is where it's at right now. You know, there's some trades available, and the thing I really dig is I really love the artwork. Artwork is one of the biggest things for me. This Andre Bresnan guy, I just really dig it. It's just something where, for me, it just hits for me. I love, like you talk about, the coloring, the art, everything. And the basic story of this, if you have never checked this out, is a father and son are playing catch by some woods. The ball goes into the woods, the kid goes in to get it, and he disappears. Everyone thinks that the father killed the son, and, you know, he loses his job, his family, his friends. Everyone's like, you're a child murderer, but they never found a body, so he never was convicted, but everyone goes, you know, that's what you did. And
everybody condemns this man before they have any kind of proof.
Exactly. And then when the first issue happens, the police pick up this Conan-looking dude, super strong, beard, all this sort of thing, and he says, I'm the kid. I went through a different dimension into a fantasy world. And
he grew a lot faster and ended up being the age of his father a couple of years after he's, you know, everybody, all that's resolved, basically.
Exactly. And so...
I haven't read this book since probably about issue 5, and it's on 26.
Yeah.
But I did enjoy the hell out of this book when
I was
reading
it. I really dig this book because they keep flipping back and forth between the real world, our world, you know, cops,
and
robbers.
A psychotic, jacked up fantasy world.
Yeah, with blood thrones and elves and orcs, and you kind of find, you know, kind of go through his story. Check it out. There's a couple trades on it. It's just a really solid book.
It's kind of funny because at first it reminded me of Adult Jumanji.
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah, Robert Williams, exactly. Like, drops into, you know, has to learn.
What year is it?
Yeah, exactly. And it's in... When we were thinking about doing the subject, I was like looking at my stacks of stuff at home, and I always buy this book. I've never thought about dropping it. I've never thought about giving it up, but I just don't ever talk about it that much. But I really enjoy it. I think that it's still one of the really good Image books I pick up. Again, I love Joshua Williamson, and
colorist is Adriano Lucas.
Adriano Lucas. There you go. Yeah, the colorist is very good.
The colorist is really good in that.
Isn't that color yeah. cool?
Just flipping through like 6 pages of that, you can tell.
Yeah. So, Birthright, and like I said, it's only on 26 issues, so that should be about, I think there's 3 or 4 trades out.
Yep.
And you can pick that up. It's real going to be real easy. It's nothing crazy. Even if you want to pick up the back issues, they shouldn't, if you're an issue person, it shouldn't be crazy.
Fantasy action?
Fantasy action with some...
mystery added in?
With some mystery added in, yeah. Because it's, like Sean said, it is kind of Jumanji-ish, where the family doesn't believe the kid's there, the dad kind of does, and you find out what happened to him. Because the kid comes back, you know, like Conan a little bit.
Right.
Killer... he's had, like, children, you know, like, right. all this crazy stuff's happened in the, you know, 1 year or 2 years when this new guy shows up.
Right.
And it delves into there, and there's some twists in there. The very first issue, at the end page, there's a twist, which people don't see coming, and, you know, it's been fun to see how that resolves. So,
I like it.
And I'm going to buy a page of this guy's art one of these days, because I love this art.
It's great.
So, there you go.
One that I had that I wanted to talk about, I pick up every time it comes out, is, and the new one came out today, or that's why I wanted to pick it, was Violent Love.
Mm.
It's by Frank J. Barbieri and Victor Santos. It's just,
I like that book a lot.
Yeah, I dig, you know, mobster stories, and this isn't really mobster, it's more like a... Rockabilly Bank.
To me, this is whirlwind romance.
Yes.
Like Bonnie and Clyde-ish style.
That's exactly what I was saying. It's Bonnie and Clyde.
But now,
I can't say the B words at the moment.
Can't say the
But to me, it's a great... First of all, it's only, I think, issue 8 now. So it's come out pretty slowly. And the story is really great. The artwork... by Victor is simplistic and has a Darwin Cook-esque stylized to
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
And that's what drew me to the comic in the first place.
Sure.
And then the story carried it through. So it's essentially about two of the best bank robbers on the planet that fall in love and then kind of try to heist together. And they, because of their past lives, a lot of situations challenge that love that mm-hmm. they have. So they're battling not only their budding relationship, but their past lives as... international thieves as well.
Excellent.
International.
So really high-paced action, but also kind of like a comedy romp too, or a romantic comedy romp, and I like those things. It carries the story. It's unique and it's kind of a breath of fresh air as I read it. Too much to say outside of that because it's only 8 issues long, but
yeah.
I think that if you're looking for something outside of fantasy and things like that. Yeah. It's you know, it's got an action comedy thing feel to it. So
I dig it.
Uh-huh.
All right,
we're gonna switch complete gears here.
Yeah,
for my next.
That's the whole point. We keep just flipping it hard.
Yeah.
So I don't know how many of you out there have read Jonathan Hickman stuff.
Yeah.
So
this one I have read as well.
I love his books.
Yeah.
But his books are always best reread as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
They're really dense reads, basically. Almost every single one of them. When he was doing Fantastic Four, that was a lot of dense read.
Yes, it was.
That you could easily get lost on and not know what the hell's going on. Same with his Avengers arc when he was working for Marvel.
Uh-huh.
But it's so much better when you read it as one chunk.
Right.
It's just because you could see all of what he's got going on. Because he's a very different writer because he plots out 5 years of storyline before he even writes the comic book.
Right.
So he builds this world and builds all the things he wants to achieve first.
Right.
A lot of comic book writers don't write like that. They write per issue. Mm-hmm. Like, well, let's see where this takes me this month.
See where it goes.
But he doesn't do that. He's got a concise, pretty concise plan of what he wants to do and where he wants to go. He's just got to fill in the beats.
Yes.
So, unfortunately, some people are not patient enough to wait for the payoff with a lot of his books. I do absolutely feel that Black Monday Murders is going to be that book.
Yeah.
This is a heavy-duty read.
Yeah.
Really good read. The basic premise is, what would you sacrifice to have money and power?
I was going
to
say, yeah.
What would you sacrifice if money was a god? Uh-huh. What would you sacrifice him to have all the power?
Right.
That's what the entire basic premise of the book is about.
Correct.
And there's certain people, there's a handful of people that come from families that have been controlling the destiny of power and wealth in the world. And this is kind of their story, but they're all, it's different for each continent because each continent kind of has its own sect.
Yes.
So
it's really in depth and really dark and full of mystery.
Really dark.
Full of mystery. And the thing I, like you said, the depth in this book is what I really enjoy. I like.
Well, and the funny thing is he's not putting these out fast.
No.
I think we're only up to issue 6 or 7. I think this is it, actually. I think it's only 6.
I think
6.
You're correct, yeah.
And but even the 6 issues have felt like a novel.
You can just chew it forever.
I've gone back and actually reread this. I never reread anything, usually.
Right.
And I've reread this 3 times. Uh-huh. Just because I keep feeling like I missed stuff.
Right, but these are also...
So I'm getting my bang for my buck.
Yeah, these are also the kind of comics that turn into a movie later. True. That you'll find out. They simplify it and kind of put it into a movie aspect because there are incredible elements to like keeping or engaging you.
Mm-hmm.
And then you'll go back and go, oh, there was a comic of that?
Yeah.
And you read those.
Because you're like, holy shit.
Right. Because it's incredibly unique. I don't know another story that I can compare it to.
I've never read anything quite like this.
Right. So.
I love the fact that the art is so very fitting with the bleakness, the way it's drawn. Mm-hmm. And the colors are very bleak. Everything is very kind of muted and dark. Mm-hmm. And
yes.
You like the whole idea of you don't know what's going on behind the scenes until you know what's going on behind the scenes.
It's one of the, when you do the word association, you immediately just go dark.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's all I get. Yeah. Dark.
Pretty much.
But it is like if the, you know, the Aztecs and their sacrifice were the right way to go, and you know we're in modern ages and they're still doing that just behind the curtain.
You just don't know about it.
Yeah. You're just like, wow, the stock market's crazy, but in the back they're like, you know, sacrificing
stock market's going nuts. That means the god of money is not very happy, so we gotta sate that by sacrificing stockbrokers.
Right.
it's fine
you'll be fine,
which would be crazy and I'd be down. So great pick. I love that one.
Alright. Then I'll just jump into my next one here. Yep. Is going to be The Shadow from Dynamite. It's going to be
Shadow Knows.
Yep, it's going to be the new series that just came out from Dynamite. Issue 2 just came out, I believe, last week. This is written by Cy Spurrier and Dan Waters. Artwork by Daniel HDR. Oh. And the thing that makes this really unique is, if you enjoy the Batman Shadow book, and if you've enjoyed the character of the Shadow, then just pick up the Shadow book anyway, because
the Shadow's been around for a very long time.
For a long time. He's one of my favorite of the pulp heroes. This book takes a really unique...
He almost
coined
the term crime noir based off
the character. Pretty much.
Exactly.
This was the basis for Batman.
Yes.
They based Batman some stuff off of the Shadow. And this series in particular is really interesting because it takes place in modern day. And basically, the beginning of this is a school shooting starts, and you're listening to a nurse talk to a burn victim, and she's telling the story about the first time she ever met the Shadow, which was she was about to be killed during a school shooting, and the Shadow comes and takes out the bad people, and she slowly talks about the kind of the history about what's been going on, and people found this burned man just running around going crazy. And it's kind of hinted at that it may be the Shadow, but he cannot remember. Uh-huh. And so it's this mystery about, you know, is this the Shadow? Is it old Shadow? Is he immortal? What's going on? People around the story is kind of, you know, like Margot Lane and stuff like that are old, and they're like, oh, he's, you know, I haven't talked to him for 40 years and all that kind of stuff. So it's this really interesting, unique take on it, which I find, you know, fun to read. Yeah. So if you like pulpy adventure kind of stuff, if you like that Batman Shadow book that's coming out, Dynamite's getting ready to do a Shadow Batman book, which is going to be, you know, some different artists and some different writers on that. You know, just definitely check it out. I like, being a Shadow fan, I like the little resurgence that we're having. And, if you like, you know, Phantom, The Rocketeer, just pulpy stuff,
yeah,
you'll dig The Shadow.
I would agree. I really enjoy the kind of, like, you know, breath of life into the Shadow, and he's always welcome in my comic books. So
there you go.
And I saw the artwork, and I was like, man, Zach hasn't talked to me about this book at all, and I'm glad you brought it to me.
Yeah, the artwork is good. I like it for the story. Like you said, it's good.
Yeah, it's really great. I'm really interested to see where it's going.
Yes. Me too.
What do you got, Richie?
So yeah. This next book I have like briefly mentioned once or twice, and I may have picked it as a pick, but I've have yet to just discuss in length about how much I love the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles ongoing section by Tom Waltz.
We have an ex Malliant employee who loves the Turtles probably more than you do.
I think you, yeah, because, oh, Andy?
Yeah.
Yeah. Andy and
loves Turtles.
So the thing about Tom Waltz is I think Tom
Waltz...
He had to
go buy his own comic book store just so he could keep getting issues. Yeah. Just
kidding. The thing about Tom Waltz is I think Tom Waltz might love the Turtles more than anyone. He had taken every element of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles that you remember, that you've never heard of, or that are currently going on, and he took the best parts of those things and has built a story throughout. Now, from this book, they have pulled off into, like, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles universe, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles adventures,
sure.
You know, but the ongoing series, which...
The main book.
Yeah, which this is kind of like the Star Wars thing we were talking about earlier. You can read all of them, and they all kind of intermingle, but it's not necessary.
Yeah.
The ongoing series is the one I'm pitching right now that it has been going on for... 5 years? Four?
Yeah, something like... What is your... That's going to be a little bit more than
it
that.
Has been, but Tom Waltz has been on it the entire time. He started it.
That's good. All
right. And the greatest thing, working with Kevin Eastman,
mm-hmm.
co-creator of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. And again, they start off with your basic Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle story.
You're just over 6 years on that.
Yeah, they bleed into the intergalactic style, and now they're morphing into their own aspects of the Turtles while bringing in things you've known, things you didn't know. They created a character named Alapex, which has been bleeding into the cartoons now because it's so popular. It is one of the longest running books that has been on point the entire time for me that I know of. Even it's gone now longer than New 52 Batman, which was Scott Snyder's run, which I would have put against it, because it's again just a retelling of the Turtles story. The things that they flipped on the dime, it's not that they all did get mutated, but they were all raised by April O'Neil, who was a intern at TCRI.
Okay.
And that they were actually infused, and this is where they still argue about if they were reincarnated from ancient Japan.
Warriors? Okay.
Or if they're just implanted with these memories. Where Splinter truly believes he is a reincarnated version and Shredder is an immortal, those two have challenged that. So, like I said, guys, again, ninjas. I gotta say ninjas again. Outside of that, there's also a lot of great family time stories. One of the best issues of this is the Christmas issue, which I think I talked about. I cried. They had a real off-put with Splinter without giving part of the story away. There's a, you know, a derailment of the family, and the Turtles want to have their annual Christmas party like they always have, and Michelangelo's super depressed because their father's not going to be a part of it, and so he's really sad. They all go to bed, and Splinter sneaks into their house and gives them all, like, what he usually would do during Christmas. He, you know, and they wake up on Christmas morning still doing their normal thing even though their dad wasn't there. Super adorable, and I was like, you're crying, you know. It's so good.
That's awesome.
It is a fantastic storytelling, and everything bubbles up, you know, overflows, and then comes back down to rebuild on a new arc. Every arc has been fantastic. It has closed, so I've had 4 or 5 different amazing stories already placed in this. If you're not reading it, if you even slightly enjoyed the Turtles, I think you would enjoy this book. And it's the best part about it is that it goes into the kiddie stuff you know, your cartoony, like, pizza-loving things, but also maintains the Eastman and Laird original concepts of brutal...
It's a melding of it. Yeah.
Brutal ninja fighting and things like that.
Well, and so the funny thing about this book is I really loved the first, I can't remember how many issues, the first 15 or whatever when I was reading it. Because I was picking this up when this first came out, too, and I was enjoying the hell out of it.
Yes.
The problem was that I can't remember what issue it was, but there was an issue there where it Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles just spiked, and every single issue, no matter what number it was a $10 to $15 book.
Yeah.
And everyone was just literally clawing at each other trying to get them, and I brought mine back.
One of them.
I know, I brought mine back, because this was, like Sean said, early when we had just moved over here. And people were like, I'll pay you $200 for 1 through 10 right now. And you're like, okay. And so I brought all mine back and sold them. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, there was a good, I don't know, what was it, a year probably?
Yeah.
Where we sold out every issue and you couldn't get it and it was hard to find. And I just said, oh, I'll read it some other day. And it's 6 years later and I still have not read it. So I need to pick it up.
So
yeah, I need to pick these up because I did enjoy what I did read. So.
Like I said, the thing about it and the reason I don't talk about it so much is I take this comic for granted it's that good. Mm. I just go, yep, that's going to be fantastic. Just throw it in there and I'll read it when I do. And obviously everybody knows that this book is great. And
it's
I just never talk about it because it's
sure.
It's that reliable every time, and it has been for almost 7 years. And
there you go.
Like I said, it is at 73. As Zach said, it's really hard to find, but if you can read these in trades, that might be even better for you.
So yeah, that's going to be the best way, I think.
Do that, pick it up, and just enjoy the adventure. The ride is fantastic.
Excellent. All right, well, let's wrap up with Sean's last chew here.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, let's do your chew, and then we'll peace out.
Well, quickly, Manifest Destiny, Image Book, Chris Dingies.
Great, yeah.
Matthew Roberts, Tony Atkins, and Owen Gianni.
I remember when you told me about this book.
This book's awesome.
Yeah.
So imagine if Lewis and Clark,
they're doing
the expedition across America, right?
Uh-huh.
Before all the Louisiana Purchase and all that kind of stuff.
Correct.
Well, imagine if their expedition turned into basically X-Files episodes.
Right. I'm in, right?
They're, awesome. They're running into all these crazy monsters and creatures, and Pocahontas is like a total badass helping guide them through all this stuff.
That's
the book.
That's just awesome.
That is seriously the book.
That's all you really need. It's
that
so
is
good.
All you really need, yeah.
This book is 30 strong, and it's been good the entire time. The art's been good. The story's been good. The art really fits the story because it's some of the monsters that gets drawn in here are like
with your
weird and
today.
Grotesque.
Yeah.
Having what art fit
book. The art fitting the book.
That's usually what'll hook me in keeping with the book.
Yeah, so. The art is good. We have a friend, a personal friend, that he doesn't buy or read a lot of comic books, but this is actually a book that he'll, as soon as it comes out, he'll come in and he'll buy it. Like that Wednesday, and he'll take it home and read it. Yeah, and he's not even a huge comic
book
person.
It's an excellent
book. But he loves that book, yeah.
Just like I said, just that whole premise of
exploring
and if you've ever liked the X-Files or even Fringe or like those types of shows, this is a book that
placing
you should be reading.
Yeah, placing in a historic adventure as well and then adding that element to it, it's just
it's
so
great.
Yeah,
the stuff that they come up with in here, I'm just like, oh, that's
so
freaking
good.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So I would highly recommend that one. The other one is a pretty brand new book called Sacred Creatures.
Yeah, and I don't know too much about this. I know that it's super hard to get.
What if the seven deadly sins decided they were going to take over? They were manifested as people and decided they were going to take over.
Nice.
That's your basic premise of the book.
Kind of, if you like, kind of Good Omens from Neil Gaiman, that kind of what
it's
happens.
It's definitely not lighthearted like that.
It's not lighthearted. It's not lighthearted, but he kind of did that too, where he brought in the deadly sins and made them into people.
Yeah.
And it's going to be in that same kind of thing, but like Sean said, a lot more messed up and dark.
Yeah, this one's a lot darker.
Yeah.
So this is three issues. I'm assuming
it's only three issues.
Have you gotten to read all of them yet?
Yeah, I've read all of them.
And what do you think? How do you think of the story?
I think the story is extremely solid, and the fact that the book, I mean,
it's
these books are $3.99.
I was going to say, I'm looking at that book.
48 page books.
Goodness gracious!
No ads either.
Yeah, there's zero ads, and it's all book.
Wow.
You get a solid story every single book. And it's a solid continuing story.
Yeah,
you should be picking this up now. If you're like weird with
religious
overtones, maybe don't pick this book up.
Right,
I would say.
Right.
So, and I would understand that because since the Seven Deadly Sins band together.
Sometimes comics can get offensive on a religious or a lots of aspects. So yeah, that might not be for you in that case.
They're confronting angels and demons in here.
Yeah. No, yeah, sorry, we're all looking at the art. Which the art is very good in this, too. Sean made me take the first one home, and I checked it out, and yeah, I'm going to continue to get them.
And I can't believe, like, for everybody out there, it's interesting to me that we sold pretty well on the first issue, and then it's had a massive drop-off, because I think people... The biggest problem with Image books is their shipping schedules are the worst thing in the world.
Uh-huh.
Because it's like a weird hippie commune where they just kind of let them print and produce whenever they feel like it, and it kills their books. It makes me so sad because some of these books are real quality.
Sure.
But you're going to lose your readership because you're not putting stuff out in any kind of timely fashion.
Yep.
The books could be 2 months late, 5 months late, 9 months late, a year and a half late.
Well, yeah.
And you're going to lose a bunch of readers.
Yeah.
Yes.
And unfortunately, this book is, I think, suffering that
a
little bit.
Sure. No, I definitely agree.
I agree. And I've seen
Manifest
that.
Destiny has been coming out. It'll come out with 5 issues, and then it takes
that was Violent Love
two
too.
To 7 months off or something.
Same with Birthright. All the image books.
It's killing us, man. I think the reason why we remember to keep up on them is because we're here every day, and we're like, oh yeah, that's back out again. Well, cool. Yeah.
And it fits.
But
our
it doesn't work for
from,
it. Doesn't yeah. It doesn't work for every single
from
customer,
the
Infinite
Revolution of the podcast earlier. Oh, yeah. Like we said, if you like indie comics, you just have to kind of get used to this wonky schedule of. Oh yeah, you're 3 now and 6 in 2 years.
Or you can complain to Image and be like, why the hell are you doing this?
You could do that.
You could.
Because I'm fine with that too. I complain to him every time I see him at Comics Pro. I'm like, you need to schedule your books more.
For goodness sake.
You're killing me.
Great ideas, terrible scheduling.
Absolutely. Well, anyway, guys, we're going to wrap it up there, but I hope you guys enjoyed this. I think we're going to try and make this once, twice a year sort of thing, so that we can just say, hey guys, these are some awesome books. Again, if you're local and you want to check some of these out, get with any 3 of us, talk to us, and we can help you find trades or issues if we have it, or however.
Yeah.
However you want to read it. And if you're not local but you're listening to us, find these however you can, because we all back behind them.
And don't give up hope. We will be doing a live show.
Exactly.
Uh-huh.
So until next time, guys, we will talk to you guys later.
Peace out. Right.
See ya. Bye.
A squishy transmission caught in drive. Spider-Man staring at the sand in the sky. Spider-Woman in the front seat screaming, go, go, go! He's pushing the accelerator down to the floor. His fuzzy little toe, whoa, whoa, whoa. Little dune buggy in the sand. Little blue dune buggy in my hand, yeah. Little blue dune buggy. My 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 little blue.